Now maybe we can have an update from Leo first and then
Yep.
figure out what to do next.
Sure.
Yep.
So I started doing the development of the cache for the Reykjavik. And I have, I think, most of it complete. And right now I'm doing some unit testing to verify the correctness of it. And after I'm done with that, I'm just going to incorporate it to the Reykjavik. I did some review of the code, and it should be fairly straightforward to incorporate the cache that I wrote for the Reykjavik. If possible, I would like to talk a little bit about the design, because initially I thought that the cache would have to cache objects of variable sizes. But when I went and checked the code, I realized that that's not necessary, because at the end, the reads and writes that the Reykjavik performs are block aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence of that, I decided to cache blocks as opposed to variable size objects.
Excuse me, but I see. So the Reykjavik does a read modify, right? If let's say, you know, the application is modifying a small amount of data in a let's say one key value entry that's contained within a block.
The Reykjavik always performs block align writes.
Okay, which is why I'm asking that question.
So,
does it do read modify write?
So basically, it's not really read modified write, because it always redirects the new writes.
Oh, okay.
And
so,
it doesn't, and K directly doesn't allow updates. It always reinserts again. It's overwrite basically. As far as I know, it doesn't let you update a single field.
Let's say you have a key value a pair in direct KV, and so are you allowed to update the value for the same key, or you have to insert
you are allowed to do that, yes. You're allowed to do that.
Okay, and if let's say an application does update a value for an existing key, does direct KV overwrite in place, or does it log elsewhere? Or because that's the part I'm trying to understand, to see how it avoids the read modify write.
No, for the same key, it will write in the same place, because it will generate the same hash.
Okay.
Now, for every key value store, there is some metadata associated to it, so you usually end up reading also block align. So what you read is potentially more than what you need. Now, when the...
Also, to insert, let's say, update a certain value for an existing key, you have to first read the block to verify if the key exists or not.
Right.
And since you have the block, and
mm-hmm.
for the read, you will write the... You'll update the value and write out the entire block.
Correct. Yes.
I have a quick question.
Go
Let's
ahead.
Say that the value actually, like the first time you write the value, it's like 512 bytes or say 128 bytes. I want to update the same key. I return the entire value again, right?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I cannot update selectively a few bytes. I have to submit the entire new value object associated with the key for an insert or an update.
Yes, I believe that is correct.
So that's why I was trying to say that it's not really a read modify write, it's just an overwrite that you do blindly.
No, but the reason I say read modify write is because Leo said that writes are happening at block granularity. Even if you were to overwrite the entire value, because it's part of a large block that you would eventually need to write out, if you're doing block aligned writes, then you have to read the rest of the block that potentially contains other key value pairs.
So the way that we actually have internal fragmentation, we don't have.
Yeah.
So the thing that we do is we always waste space and try to, even if you write small amount of data, we try to extend it such that it actually spans across a block boundary.
Right.
So are you saying that there is a guarantee that if you if you read a block from the sparse space, you won't get more than one key value pair?
Correct.
Yes, that That is correct.
Okay. Okay. Then you can. You don't need to read. Oh,
yeah.
But you would need to read to verify that it exists so that you can go ahead and update it.
No. You can actually. Okay. So there are basically two general ways of handling hash collisions, right?
Mm.
You can either start linking in the bucket of the hash that for which you collide, or you can do open addressing, which is basically you modify your hash function and you rehash again, trying to find an empty bucket in your hash.
And the bucket is a block.
And the bucket is an LBA, yeah. It's a, of course, this is an SPAR address. So directly what it does is that when you insert, it will hash. And if it finds the collision, then it will rehash a number of times.
Okay.
And if it finds the collision after that many times, then it assumes that the device is full.
Okay.
And there's a probability associated to that, saying that the device is full with this probability.
When the device is not full.
Correct. So that's basically what you do. Now, when you insert, you have to read. You first issue a system call in IOCTA to ask whether there is something in that LBA. For that, you don't have to actually read the media. It's just a metadata request.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's empty, then you actually perform the IO.
Mm.
If it's not, then you have to rehash and you keep checking until you find the LBA that is empty, and then you perform the write.
I get it. Now, the part that I don't get is, let's say you have a small key value pair. Say the total size is 128 bytes.
Correct.
You would still write a 512 byte block?
You write a little bit more than that. You always write block line, even if your key value pair is smaller.
But you write an entire block?
Yes.
You write an entire block, Raju.
Yes.
Okay, so with DirectKV, you could potentially write a lot more data than you actually get requested to write from the application.
Okay.
Yes, and also
yeah.
You read more than what you're requested as well.
You read more than what you request. Okay. Okay, so I see.
So Leo, don't read more than what you depending on.
It depends. You can handle that case as well. Yes, there's
we,
some.
We handle that properly because the LRB3 guarantees that the way we design it, we only read what we wrote. Actually, we don't read more than what we wrote.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be greater than the object size, like because if you actually pack a 128 byte object into a 512 byte block. We have to read the entire 512 bytes to return the object. So,
yeah.
In that case, we read a little bit more.
Yeah. I guess LevelDB has the same issue. It would need to read the entire block if it's a block device.
LevelDB uses file system.
I know, but the file system will eventually need to read
the
entire block.
Yeah.
Even if it wants to read just a portion of the block or page.
There are some ideas that we could do to repack it, but it's a lot more involved in terms of code. So we decided not to do it.
LevelDB, what it does is that, some of the files are memory mapped.
If it's a block device, you are stuck with reading an entire block.
Yes.
So, and we are talking about a block device, I guess.
Yes.
But writing more than what you need to write, that might be a concern. So one of the things that we should probably evaluate is how much additional data we write in DirectKV versus LevelDB.
Right.
Persistently. I don't know how easy it is to do that.
So, I think you actually might end up writing a lot.
Yeah.
So what more, we can construct a workload such that, we write a lot more in DirectKV compared to LevelDB because LevelDB, it's cached writes and stuff. So if you try to think of as it maintains a DRAM cache or some cache in memory, try to aggregate all the writes and then writes in one single bunch.
Yeah.
So even though it is block aligned, you're going to pack a lot more keys into it, right?
Yep. That's right. That's exactly why I'm suggesting that we evaluate how much write traffic we push to the device compared to LevelDB.
Yeah.
So let's go back to what you were saying, because say you wanted to do a cache with entries that are key value pairs, but then you saw that DirectKV always does block line write, so you decided to do a block cache?
Yes.
Okay. That means more memory though.
Yeah, but so Leo, the thing that I would think about is you don't need a block cache. You can still do a byte level cache, because all you really care about is object and keys, right? Does the object key exist or not? You don't really have to go into the system to verify, because the cache itself can say it with 100% guarantee that it was a last write written. What was it basically, right?
Yeah.
So why do it at the block level?
Yeah, I think doing it at the block level, the reason you're thinking about it perhaps is ease of management, because blocks are the same size and you don't need to keep track of additional metadata as to how big keys and key value pairs are and so on. So you get to avoid the site, the metadata associated with all of that information. But you need it. You probably end up wasting a lot of memory, because your memory cache is going to be filled up with all stuff or bytes that are not nil, right?
Yeah.
Or null bytes.
Well,
I think that's a good point, Roger. Yeah, sorry, Leo, go ahead.
Things that in the right path of DirectKV, if I just use the hash, if I use the key and the real size of the value, then it means that I have to go through the whole process of hashing multiple times as well. There was some downside to that approach. I just don't remember what was it.
So you could cache, if you were to cache multiple times, you can cache the first hash computation.
Yeah. Leo, sorry, correct me if I'm wrong. So last time we discussed, we thought we are going to take the caching scheme in LevelDB and directly plug it into DirectKV through gets and puts. So that's not easy to do.
I'm thinking to answer your question, because I did look at their cache. Their cache uses a concept of slice, which is a mechanism that they use to pack multiple keys and things like that. So it's somewhat tied to their implementation. So I borrowed some of their ideas, but I ended up writing my own.
Okay. So the reason why I'm asking is, remember last time we wanted to do an apples-to-apples comparison, and I thought that if we can actually take the same caching algorithm in LevelDB, port it to DirectKV, it means then the caching also is almost similar. Only fundamental thing that differs is how the data management or data access happens in DirectKV as compared to LevelDB. Sorry, somebody is moving some chairs upstairs, and if you're hearing some noise.
It's not too loud.
Well, the caching algorithm is the same, because the LevelDB uses a simple LRU, and that's the same caching that I implemented.
No, but that's the block level and this is the byte level cache, right?
Well, my cache is not at the block. Well, what do you mean a block level? I mean that I'm caching blocks, right? Because it's on
yeah.
User space.
Yeah, it's a block level cache. Block granularity cache.
Right.
That's what you implemented, right?
Right, right.
So, well, I think first of all, we should probably implement key value pair granularity cache. Because otherwise we might end up wasting a lot of cache space. And that won't, again, be an apples-to-apples comparison with LevelDB, which does a smarter thing of keeping a key-value pair granularity cache.
Okay.
So that's one thing to, that's one comment. The other one is, like Swami said, if we can borrow LevelDB code as much as possible to implement the DirectKV user level cache, I think it will be easier for us to explain some of the performance data we get eventually. Otherwise, it's going to be more difficult to figure out where exactly the differences are coming from. Then we might have to do some additional instrumentation, and that's just more time. And maybe even if we are able to explain it, people might still ask, well, this doesn't give us an accurate picture in terms of comparative data. So yeah, I guess the question to you, Leo, is, did you Did you seriously consider porting LevelDB cache into DirectKV yet, or not really?
Well, when I started looking for a cache, I went there first. But when I saw that the cache code was tied to some of the constructs and the design of the DirectKV, also the key values itself, I said, well, I don't know how much data I'm going to have to pull to actually make it work with DirectKV. So I look at it, okay, what are they doing? It's basically an LRU in which they maintain a list with recency, and that's basically it. But they also, they pass around some objects that represent the packing of multiple key values and things of that sort, and that's why I decided not to use it just like that, because it won't be as straightforward as just borrowing the code. I'm going to have to remove some of the dependencies as well.
Yeah. I see.
So removing is, I think it's clear. Removing should be okay, because you can always say that it does more than what it is doing, and we are just simplifying those things. But it's still the fundamental same code base for caching, right? I'm just trying to pick your brain. Don't get me wrong.
No. That's fine. That's a valid question. The thing is that even their implementation of the cache, they wrote their own hash function, and even the hash table they have is tied to those constructs of packing key value pairs and things of that sort. So to borrow that, I would have to modify the hashing function as well and get rid of those things. So for me, it was okay. I'm just going to use the idea of an LRU list. And then, in fact, my implementation is using the basic hash function of the standard template library of the STL.
Yeah, I think we understand that you're trying to simplify, but I think both what Swami and I are trying to say is that for us to have an equivalent comparison, it might be easier to use the same code base. The fact that they are packing multiple key value pairs into some coarser granularity construct, like what you call a slice, may be okay. I mean, even in our case, I mean, eventually if we reduce the granularity of the cache to a key value pair, then we had to figure out some way to manage that. It could be a simple hash table that keeps all the entries of the cache. But now it's not a block level cache, it's block granularity cache, so key value granularity cache. And we could do that, we could maybe have that, but it would also be good to have the same cache. I mean, whatever you have right now, we could still use it perhaps. Yeah, as long as we convert it into a key value granularity cache, right? But then, if it's straightforward enough, you would also like to see with the same caching mechanism that LevelDB uses, how does the I/O performance below there, which is below the caching layer, how does that differ in LevelDB and DirectKV?
Okay, so
because if we use the same caching, then for the same workload, we'll have the same number of hits, same number of IOs potentially, or actually different number of IOs. So then we have a good control over what's going down below or downstream of the cache layer, and that stays the same in these two solutions. And then we can better compare, you know, how the optimizations at the IO layer benefit DirectKV versus LevelDB. No?
That's true, but it not only depends on having the same cache will not guarantee all that, because it also depends how LevelDB handles collisions and how good the hashing function is and things of that sort.
You mean this is after the caching layer?
Yes.
Yeah, but after the caching layer is all, what should I say? It's a storage related mechanism. Right, that's the way LevelDB chooses to optimize IOs to storage.
Okay.
Or the operating system. And there's another layer of caching that we need to eventually deal with, which is the file system cache. But at least if we get to compare write through direct KV versus write through and write back level DB, we get some approximate performance evaluation of what we can expect with level DB when we do implement write back.
Okay.
But what you have right now may still be valuable. It might be that the current custom implementation of cache for direct KV might be superior to the level DB ported cache. It's possible.
Yeah.
And if it is, then we should probably present that as well to say, okay, well, we first borrowed level DB cache, but it was more suited for level DB, but we used it to present a comparison of what's going on downstream of the cache in direct KV versus level DB. But then direct KV performance can be further improved with a custom cache, potentially, if it turns out that your custom cache does better.
Okay. Yeah, sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Now the question is how, since you have not gone through the exercise of porting, we don't know exactly how easy that is. So maybe you can spend some time this week to work on that as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think I definitely agree with you, Raju. I think before we actually jump into taking the level DB cache, we should first check what the performance is with what you have implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Save the code and then move to level DB. First,
yeah.
Let's understand this results, whatever you have done so far. I don't want it to go to waste.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then let's think about level DB. Yeah, I'm in sync with you.
And it's possible that this custom cache that Leo has implemented, because it's free of any level DB architecture assumptions, it might actually do better than the level DB cache running on top of direct KV.
Yep.
So go about testing your cache and implementing it, but make it, instead of a block cache, a key value pair granularity cache. And then the next step would be to port the level DB cache implementation so that we can compare everything else apples to apples.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the goal is basically to minimize wastage. Because we're going to have the same, if we do a block align,
yeah,
a block cache, then the same wastage that you have in a device, we're going to have in RAM as well.
Yeah, and that's much worse. Because the device, arguably, you may have, you know, more space. We don't know. But certainly RAM is a lot more scarce.
That makes sense. Well, I don't think it would be too difficult to make it key value. It's just I just have to add the metadata to the entry so they know about their size, and that's it.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, so I guess if that's all, then we should just let you carry on with what you're doing and we'll meet next week.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right, Swami.
So, yeah, this is really cool, yeah. So continue this one. Let's find out what it is. I didn't mean to discourage you. I just wanted to make sure that we are doing an apples to apples comparison.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. So I'm going to do as we planned. I'll finish that, and while I'm getting the numbers, I'll study better the level DB code for the caching and
sure.
And see how feasible it is to port it.
Okay,
yeah.
Excellent.
That's perfect.
Okay, great.
Okay.